April 18, 2024. It's a lot from Pedro Show. From Pedro Show, happy Thursday. Started off with John Coltrane, live excerpt, November 18, 1961. This is Impressions, piece of Impressions. I think one of Elvin Jones' favorite. Every time I saw Elvin, he would play this. Raymond Take Me Up to Catalina on Cahuenga up in Hollywood. Then James Jonathan Clancy with Milk of Dreams. And because of those Estonian software engineers of their Skype invention, I got with me all the way from Bologna, James Jonathan Clancy. Welcome aboard, Jonathan.
Hello. Hi, Mike, and hi to everyone who's listening. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we got to give respect to Hotel Stay for the Connect. And also, thank you so much for helping us with Terzo and Winging a Parrot Player.
Oh, it's honestly an honor to release all of your music. I'm a big fan. Obviously, your stuff, but a big fan also of Stefano and Paolo's work in all their stuff, and Stay's being a friend for, I don't know, we've known each other since we were teenagers, basically, so.
Well, I want to go before that. I want to go all the way back, as you can remember, regarding music, because I want to learn about your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Wow, that's not easy.
Remember, it's a Watch for Pedro Show. There's no wrong answers. There's no hard questions.
So, I mean, my first musical recollections are thanks to my mom. I come from a sort of like, I wouldn't say musical family, but definitely a music listening family. And my mom was very much into rock and roll when she was when I came about, and she was always into like the oldies, like stuff from Van Morrison to Neil Young, and that's,
you know what,
kind of
I'm hearing about, so I'm guessing Canada.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I was born in.
No, you guys got the accent almost all the way down. It's that OU sound.
It is. and the A's, and we say A's.
A little bit, yeah. But it's OU.
A little bit.
That's the giveaway. Now, William Shatner, Captain Kirk, he got rid of it.
He did. He definitely did. But yeah, so that's kind of how it started, and then I moved to Italy when I was like, I kind of moved back and forth until I was 15, and then I was here in Bologna just because of my mom's work teaching, and that's kind of where I got into the real, like, you know, playing with music with friends.
Because I was going to ask you, in the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
There was not actually. I mean, there was a piano, but then when I was like 13, I got this like really shitty Stratocaster. Sort of that kind of opened up everything for me. I
never jumped on that piano?
Yes and no. I mean, I came back to it. I came back to it way later. Like,
I'm talking about the kid days, because I've had people on this show as guests that wanted to quit music because of the experience of the piano lessons. A lot of times it's a trauma thing. I think it's because of shitty teachers.
So I think my mom went the right way. I didn't do any. I didn't have any lessons. I actually had a few guitar lessons and was put off by that too. So, yeah. So there you go.
Let me ask you this: what about in school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was not, because we don't have that sort of.
Okay,
stuff.
That's one of the reasons I asked that. They got rid of that in some schools in the U.S. That's why Flea started that conservatory of music in Silver Lake. He went back to Fairfax High where he learned trumpet, and they had no music program anymore. Like,
damn,
fuck that.
Yeah,
bullshit. Nah, let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money, please.
You really want to know? it's Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 2.
And the first, and they were, right? Because they didn't write their own songs. what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was actually not bad. It was with my mom, and I saw Soundgarden with Caius. And I want to say White Zombie was like a three-band festival here in Italy. And I was about 12, I want to say. And I was a big, I guess, in those years, we're talking early 90s. For me, it was all that stuff coming out. And it was pretty big to see Soundgarden and Caius. Obviously, at that age, I didn't even want to, like,
yesterday, his first gig was Jackson 5. I mean, a lot of those kind of things. They're not in charge, right? You're a kid, and you're just brought there, right? Now, me and D-Boone, the first gig me and D-Boone saw was T-Rex. We were 15 years old, 1973, Long Beach Auditorium. Now, let's get back to that Stratocaster. So you took some lessons, but what about after school, not graduation, but the afternoon? Did you get into the bedroom band, garage band, basement band thing?
Right away, actually with people that actually Stefano, we started hanging out and practicing in this basement and just, you know, doing Led Zeppelin covers, the odd, Black Sabbath covers, stuff like that. And then started right away, we weren't into doing covers, we started writing like original material. And I always had I just wanted to sing. That was my thing. I did play a bit of guitar, but I was always loved having the mic in my hand.
I consider the voice an instrument. Probably our first instrument.
I do too.
Feet and drums, but it's pretty early, I think, the voice. Yeah, it's trippy how people divide that up. Did this band have a name? Did you do any gigs, or was it just a practice?
It's the band that eventually evolved into what was my first band. What was called Settlefish.
Settlefish. We played. You know where I heard this name before? From brother Bruno. He said it was the worst tour he ever was on in his life.
There you go. Bruno was.
It was here in the U.S.
Yes. Well, Bruno was in my band. I mean, we were brothers and we played in bands from when we were 16, so that was our first band.
Small world, everything connected. Yeah,
we're talking early 2000s, and we started sending out our little CDRs, and back then
was the first gig? You said it became Settlefish, but it had another name at first?
Yeah, it was called Video Snuff.
And did Video Snuff, did they ever do any gigs?
Yes, we played. We
tell
played
me about the first one.
Games, like, so.
Tell me about the first one. Because you can only have the first one once, right?
The very first one was actually at a venue. It was pretty nice because it was at a venue where I've actually seen you play, which is a venue called Covo Club in Bologna.
Shit, and yeah. It used to be an old fruit. Yeah. I think it was a warehouse for fruit or something. I remember loading dock and
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. And back then, the high schools here were hip enough that they would have throw, like on the occasional night off from that venue, they would have the venue to throw, high school parties and stuff. So we started playing those, and we were the only band, and Bruno was in it, that didn't play cover material. So we started getting a little well-known in the city, kind of just because we were doing our own stuff.
No, but tell me about that first gig.
That first gig, I almost fell from the stage.
Is that right?
Opened up in front of me. Yep.
What happened?
The monitor, you know when you have, when you need to have a little extra space, so they put the monitor in front on kind of like a ledge or something, or,
sure.
or a
table, sometimes on a well, table.
But they covered it with this black sort of material, so you couldn't really see. So as I'm trying to look cool, I put my foot on this like monitor, and it just opens up wide open.
It couldn't support you. Okay, yeah. And that would be like kind of a heart attack. You're already nervous. It's your first gig.
It was the worst, but then I climbed back out of it. And you know, you're nervous, 16-year-old kid.
Sure.
And singing, and I think people like what you were saying about the voice before. I mean,
yeah.
If you're singing at that age, it's impossible. Like, it's tough. Like, you're singing in front of people. You're not, you know, hiding yourself behind an instrument or an amp kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. It's real. That's the front man, right? You're in the front. But would you consider that gig a success?
Because I'm still playing music now.
Yeah, great. Definitely. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they didn't throw shit, and you didn't get, you know, fucking knocked out or something.
No.
And I was reading this book about Charlie Parker, you know, and talking about some gig where a gig goer grabbed this guy who's, I guess he didn't play too well. He took him in the alley and beat his ass. Look, you gave me this tune here, Fortunate. Let's listen.
I've done some drag before, but it's not as if I've been always doing drag, but performing and dancing, mucking around, going into nightclubs, things like that. But no, if you go along, you get more skilled at it, and you learn more, and you get more involved with different things. So, it's been quite a good thing to do, really.
Hold my hand. black and white silhouettes, stupid dreamer. You'll never find what you are looking for. Black and white silhouette, stupid traitor. You'll never find what you are looking for.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started with James Jonathan Clancy, Fortunate, it's a new album. And then we had the Dream Thieves, Snowphonic Neither, Norchestra doing Winter, and Amnesica for Ingram Marshall. This is the sixth movement. Then Swive with Diamond Path, Jim Stewart, Dead Sea, Nikki with Who Knows Where the Time Goes, Jay McFarland's Reality Guest with YouTube Trip, Torn Boys, See Through My Eyes, that's Independent Projects, Bruce Liker, his label. Woo with, Woo is also The One That Got Away. And finally, James Jonathan Clancy with Black and White. I remember there was a Strangler album called that.
Yeah, there was.
Do you remember that? They're on the cover, and I think the bass man is squatting down.
Yeah. Great band.
I got to see their first gig at the Whiskey.
Wow.
And get this. This kid comes on the stage, you know, look at me, right, I'm on a stage dive. And that bass player fucking, combat boots on, does a fucking flying karate kick. I see the boot, the kid don't see it, but the boot's going right 90 degree perpendicular upside his head. Yeah, it was fucking weird. Anyway, back to your story. Okay, so are you still, when you did that gig, you got Snuff, you were still Video Snuff, right? When did you change the name to Subtlefish? And then this U.S. tour, what I remember Bruno telling me was it was some kind of label package thing.
Yeah, so basically we changed name and started sending out, you know, like our little demos and stuff. And the first, one of the labels that answered was this U.S. label called Deep Elm from Charlotte. Yeah, from Charlotte. And they're like, amazing, we'll put out your record, blah, 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 and we're doing this tour. And it's a label tour, and the label tour is called Too Young to Die, I kid you not. And it's like and it's like a five-band album package. Sorry, five-band package, a tour package.
Bill.
And yeah. Bill, sorry, yeah, Bill. And I mean, we're like amazing. I mean, we don't have to think about anything. Like, we're starting from the get-go on our first tour where there's like a bus, a 20-seat bus with all the people in it, and then another little band that's got all the equipment for the whole tour, and there's, like, a tour manager. And I was, like, 19 at the time. I was like, ah, not bad.
Wow.
But then at the end of the day, it turned out to be, like, first of all, we were playing all these, like, weird, I guess all-ages venues, which was cool, but then, I don't know, a lot of, like, Bible Belt area, and we were playing, like, our 20-minute set kind of sandwiched in between these, like, four or five bands that had nothing to do with the type of music that we were playing. And Stefano was on that tour. He was playing bass, and by the middle of that tour, he was pretty upset, and he, like, just started, like, thrashing his bass pretty much every show.
And wow.
Yeah, he destroyed a bass on that tour, which is very uncharacteristic of Steph.
Yeah, he's pretty even keeled cat.
No, he was out there back then. And
now, I like the idea of variety, you know, who wants to see the same band five times over? But, yeah, maybe, well, logistically, the way Tel Bruno put it was like the logistics. He said no conk. He was always tired, and it just beat him up.
Yeah, and it was, and I don't have, like, the same, I mean, Bruno, you have to know this about Bruno, and Bruno, I think, would be the first to admit it. I'll call him after we put this phone call down, but, like, he's never been, like, a tour warrior. He doesn't like tours, like, as much, and you know this more than anyone. Like, you have to be in that mode. Like, for example,
I learned from Black Flag. Those motherfuckers would do 3-month, 100-gig tours.
Exactly.
You know, like, you get a little thick on the skin, right?
Yeah, so I liked it, and I don't see that, like, I mean, the tour after that, we did on our own, and obviously, as anyone, we didn't have anywhere to stay. We'd find places to stay as usual, and that was way better experience, because just we could decide for ourselves. But I thought that first one was pretty cool, just not having to think too much. I mean, we were pretty young and didn't know anything. But
I heard of it was just from him, so that's only one perspective. So how long did Settlefish go for you?
So Settlefish lasted about almost 10 years
until
the late 2000s. Yeah.
So many records then. And a lot of Europe tour?
Yeah. A lot of Europe we did, and 3 US tours, I believe.
Okay.
So we were
about Canada? Any Canada tour?
Yeah.
Okay,
Canada,
great.
We did Canada. We'd always do Toronto.
Have you done Maritime yet?
I've not done Maritime.
Yeah, me either. One day, though, I'm going to. It's just so fucking far out there.
I want to.
I really want to. I mean,
I would have thought you'd been out.
It's just hard to route, man. It's like Alaska. It's like 3 days from the border one way.
Have
it's not as bad. Alaska's worse. The only time I played Alaska is when I've flown in for one gig. But one day I'm going to do Maritime before I'm dead. That's what I'm hoping. So what do you do after Settlefish?
So after Settlefish, I start another band called A Classic Education. And we were, again, on a U.S. label, and we started touring the U.S. quite a lot. We got to tour with a great U.S. band called Cloud Nothings. For years, their kids, I believe they're from, I want to say they're from Cleveland. Yeah, they're from Cleveland, Ohio. So we did a lot of that, you know, like the Auto Bar circuit and all those kind of places.
Auto Bar in Baltimore.
Probably be too. Yeah, in Baltimore. And all
actually, there's places. Been two, there was two Auto Bars.
Yeah?
Yeah. The other one was closer to Johns Hopkins Medical College.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. were you still just singing, or did you start playing your guitar in this second band?
I was singing and playing guitar in this second band.
Okay, okay. And how did you find that different?
I don't know. I felt by that age, I felt more comfortable kind of hiding behind a guitar.
Maybe. Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah.
And also, I started writing more and more in the sense that, like, in the last Settlefish record, I was writing more the better part of the songs. They'd start on guitar, so then I'd end up just playing the guitar live, too. I don't know. What would you do?
Would you, like, make demos for the guys?
No. You just show them
the chords and stuff.
Yeah.
What about with the words?
Yes, show the chords.
Were you writing for each song, or did you have like a big stockpile of lyrics that you could choose from?
I was writing for each song. Okay. Writing for each song. Although I would keep like notepads where I'd write little ideas, and then sometimes I'd go back and pick them out.
Sure, sure. And yeah. Maybe with licks too. And what came first, words or music?
Both. I still write to this day sometimes just like with the voice, because like on the new record,
yeah,
we'll get to it, but like I sometimes record just like vocal. Now it's so easy with our phones and stuff. I record little things and then
voice memo.
Little voice memos, yeah. and I often keep words and stuff from that and try to build on that. So I was writing that way, and I was playing on that second band, A Classic Education. I was always playing guitar, and it was a whole different type of band because we introduced more instruments like organ, violin. It was getting a lot more diverse.
What was it? Bologna Cats?
Evolving.
Were the musicians from Bologna?
Bologna Cats.
Okay.
All Bologna Cats, okay. And some of the same people in Settlefish were still in there.
Actually.
So.
Yeah. Sicily, right? Fotel Bruno. He told me he was from Sicily, or his family, maybe.
He has origins. He's definitely a Bologna cat, but his dad has Sicilian origin. Yeah.
And how long does this band go?
This band goes up until about from like 2008 till 2013.
5 years.
And then and then I started. On the side, I started writing my music and recording on my own, and so my friends used to joke and call me Clanciness just because of my name, and so that's why I called this project His Clanciness, and it was just kind of like to make fun of myself, really. I didn't mean it as like an ego trip or anything. I just didn't. It was just not to use my own kind of name, and that band, that project, evolved into a band, even though it had my name. I mean, the members in it definitely like were part of the band and contributed. We were all like equal, and we started touring a lot in the UK because we put out records on a great UK label called Fat Cat that used to release music like Sigur Rós or Animal Collective or I don't know, like
Animal
early
Collective
music too.
That's a laptop band, right? Here we're at the end of the first hour. April. This was supposed to be done March 26th. Yeah, April 18th, 2024. People, special guest James Jonathan Clancy. Hold tight for hour two. April 18th, 2024. It's the second hour of the Waffle Pedro Show. Bob for Pedro show start off the second hour. Perfect synchronicity, I think. And that ain't a police song. It's Dr. Carl Jung, people. Read the red book. Okay. His clanciness, right? You just talked about that. And pale fear. In fact, I just read about a cat passing away over there. I remember playing in England with Fire Hose, and the opening band was called Pale Saints. And they just lost their guitar man. Yeah. I only saw them that one gig. They nice guys. Martina Berther after that was Sprankler. Pollution Opera. That's a name. Cairo? ? Kieran Leonard with Treat Me a Stranger. Broken Mind Circuit from Musique Infinite. And James Jonathan Clancy with Precipice. So how long does his Clanciness last?
His Clanciness lasted for 7-8 years. And then we kind of ended like, we're kind of burnt out. We did so much touring. We were playing about 100-120 shows a year in those last 2-3 years. And you know, like, again, I'm a road warrior, but the other people around me, I think we're getting kind of tired.
Yeah, we're not all the same. I think Arturo Rimbaud, he wrote poems for only a couple of years. Elvin Jones, Keiko had the fucking oxygen tanks on stage, right? I mean, people are different. Sometimes it's just a moment in their life. To other people, they got to do it until they fucking drop. Like, Warren Marsh died on stage. You know what the song was? Out of This World. You know, what would you say was the biggest difference between Settlefish, the previous band, and then his Clanciness? Well, you were just lead singer, man, in Settlefish, right?
Yeah, I think the difference is just it's the age. Like, when I hit his Clanciness, I wasn't following like influences anymore. It's more kind of like when you're older and you kind of know what you like, and you just finesse. Like, even my music taste, I wasn't searching anymore for the next cool thing or whatever. I was very much into the music that I'm still into now, and it's just more refining your chops and like singing better, learning how to like do your own thing better. So I don't know. I was just more conscious.
Was there common members between the three bands, or was each guy different cats?
No, different cats by the time.
And do you think that makes a difference?
100%. Yeah, I mean, every interaction, you know, every interaction with another human being makes a difference, especially in the studio and in the room, and especially if you're open.
No, I asked that because somebody once asked Marky Smith, you know, what the fuck is The Fall? He says, you and your grandma on bongos with me is The Fall. Like, anything involving him, right?
Man, I have some good stories from Marky Smith, but yeah, that's another time. But yeah.
So to him, it didn't matter who the fuck was in the band, it was still his band. Nah.
Still one of the wildest shows I've ever seen the first time I saw The Fall.
They played here once, like in 80 or 81, but we saw his ass the whole time. He was just staring at the kick drum.
Well, I guess, I mean, I saw him the first time in late 90s, I guess, and not much had changed. He was, like, just torturing his bandmates. So he had a long mic cable, and he'd strut around stage, and he would, like, pull the mic cable around the people's, like, legs. So the guitarist was getting tangled up and falling. The bass player was falling.
Oh, man.
And he couldn't care less. And apparently,
well, Mark Riley told me that he would go and just start switching people's knobs and shit on the amps.
I
guess somebody punched him out. Maybe in Hoboken at Maxwell's or something. Or somebody hit him with the phone. He couldn't make the gig. Anyway, up to Grotesque. I love the records. After that, I don't know what they're doing. You gave me this. Is this from the new record, To Be Me?
Yeah.
Because I love this title, man. I've been searching for this my whole fucking life.
Thank you.
basic human need for transcendence. I thought I would give it up, never did it again, but nevertheless, here I am. Ridiculous, timeless, and traditional. Alien, perpendicular, on a wider sphere. I know I can try to be me, to be me.
Perpendicular on a
What from Pedro Shet, Chucky Music, start off with James Jonathan Clancy doing To Be Me. Be my lifelong theme song. Then Yu Ching with I'm in the Warm Air. Earth Ball with Hollow Grandma. Antiphon with Yella. Ludwig Berger, Sea of Decay. James Jonathan Clancy, A Worship Deal. Worship Deal. When do the titles come?
Titles come with the lyrics. I mean, sometimes they come after. They come after. There's something that kind of like catches me, and then I kind of use it. For this record, I thought about it quite a lot. I was intent on keeping the title of the record in Italian, which is Sprecato, because I wanted to. I love the fact of having English people having to say that word. First of all. And second, because sprecato is tough to translate, because in Italian it means wasted, but not wasted in the drunk sense. It means wasted in the sense of like to just kind of give yourself away, to like be a I don't know, to kind of never be able to be whole in a certain sense, if that makes sense. And the title comes from a comic book that a friend of mine wrote, and he started sending me these images, and then I started writing music to them. I was kind of going through like a tough time, and I wasn't writing anymore, and I think he was half jokingly just said, oh, I'll send you some images from this book I'm doing, and maybe you'll write some music. So that got me into writing music again, because you know, I didn't have like the pressure of, oh, I'm doing a record, or I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. So slowly, I use literature because, well, I'm afraid of ripping off the other, you know, the licks and riffs and shit. So, but if you take another art form expression that's got some levels of abstraction, they can't tell that you're totally using them as puppet strings. Maybe not that bad.
Yeah.
But no, but really, I also use paintings a lot. So I think your buddy helped you out. That I think that's totally valid. I think artists helping each other out like that is really a good human thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it's like. I mean, I was in Bologna and I moved to London. So I broke up after like, I don't know, maybe 13 years in a relationship, and was going through my own tough stuff, and I moved to London. Didn't really know anyone, and London's not the best city to be in if you don't know anyone. And all I had was this little synth in my room and then a guitar. And so my friend Michelangelo, funny enough, I mean,
he's the cat who did the art for the fucking record covers, right? Okay.
Yeah. He's an amazing artist.
I'll
send you some of his work, or give it to you when you're over here. But he started pushing me, like, come on, just send me some music. So late at night, I'd send him little pieces that I'd record in my little, like, I don't know, in my room. And that kind of became the record. It didn't really change much. So what you hear on the record is that, until this took me about 3 or 4 years after, like, collecting this stuff. Yeah. And then I was like adamant on the fact that I wanted to finish this record on my own. I needed to do it on my own. And then I went through like, I just came to a massive halt and just let it go for a year until Stefano, I have a little studio where Stefano has a studio, and he said, come on, I'll help you finish it. And I'm like, nah, I don't want other people to help me out. And he insisted, and I was like, okay, fine. And then last summer, I still remember this, the day before going into, like, you know, the set date we'd given each other to start, I didn't sleep because I was so nervous about putting my music into someone else's hands. And then we started, and it was like, I don't know, clear sky. It was just so easy. But Stefan and I have this relationship. We literally, like, I've known him since I was 16.
Yeah.
I'm 42 now. So we go way, way back. I was going to release on my label his first record he did like 10, 15 years ago, his solo record as Stefano Padilla, like not another project or something. And then that didn't work out, but we've been so close, and I'm such like in love with him as a musician, that then it just became easy because I could just focus on what I know how to do and sing and this and that, and then he just helped make the sounds better.
Yeah, yeah. So you wanted to play everything. Can you play drums?
a bit of drums.
Okay, but yeah. No, but, you know, there's cats who do Stevie Wonder, Prince, Dave Grohl.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But I've had cats on the show. They usually start with the drums. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. No, second hour, Watt, you fucking stonato. Watt from Beaver Show, April 18, 2024, special guest, James Jonathan Clancy. Hold tab hour three! April 18, 2024, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
off for Pedro Show, start off the third hour. James Jonathan Clancy with Had It All. El Cabong after that with Initiated by Walter. We got a Walter Wright, Al Margolis, El Cabong, and I. Third collab I've done. It's coming out soon. Brian Day is putting it out. Cassettes. I dig that. People get cassettes. Shiverboard from their new record. Cryptic Bismuth is the tune. And finally, James Jonathan Clancy with I Want You. So you mentioned something about improved sequence. When did that start?
So that started just to help out a friend of mine, Gianluca. Gianluca runs this venue called Freak Out Club in Bologna, which is one of the nicer spots. It's been kind of been going for 10 years, and they do shows like 365
nights a year. They usually have the schedule outside. I think I played one of their first gigs, I remember. And they have the schedule out there, and you see this buttload of bands that's coming up. Yeah.
And it's one of those awesome venues because, you know, you can see Mike Watt one night, but then you can see, like, I don't know, like a punk band the other night, an electronic jazz artist the other night, and they're really diverse, but always good quality. And Gianluca, I was already running my own label, which is called Maple Death, and on my own, which I still do. And Gianluca was like, "Why don't we start reissuing some stuff? And if you can give me a hand, I know you know so much about music and are connected." And so I ended up helping him out, and we started, like, reissuing sort of, like, records from the 90s, like Lubricated Goat or bands like these that
kind of have never had. Were they New Zealand?
They were Australian.
Australian, sorry. And, different colored stars on the flag. Like,
yeah.
Maybe they're even different stars.
maybe. And they didn't have really a chance to, like, to be on vinyl, like
sure. That was the 90s so, era of CD. Remember that? But CD, like, I asked because your album is on Improved Sequence, and it's not a reissue.
No. So my record is on Maple Death.
Oh, which is okay.
My label.
Okay, and I fucked up.
It's fine. I mean, and it's then Improved fine. Sequence.
Thank you for correcting.
Mainly does reissues, but then. But then we had friends like the band Cut from Italy, and we released them. So we started releasing music. Oh,
Ferruccio.
Ferruccio. Yeah, that's him.
With Bruno in that barn there in Vacuum, I did a song with those cats by the prison.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, by the Dozza prison. Yeah, that's right.
Right. Okay. And then they also did the Marinaio albums on Improved Sequence. So, okay, it's not always reissues. It's new stuff, too. And Gianluca, of course, played for, like I said, I might have been one of the first Freak Out Club shows. I remember when that pad first
definitely
started. Yeah. So
it's still the same. They still have, like, a sheet.
Well, I was last there in 2019 with Flipper.
So not that long ago, yes. No,
but that was the last time I was in Europe. This is the first time I'm going back now in 5 years. Yeah.
Wow. Well, but you're definitely doing enough shows to get your taste back on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, what was it? 70 tours, only 70 more to go. I'm into this thing. It's a Marinaio life. Huh? It's a sailor life. Out and alive.
always mean forever. Fixation guides us all. Fixation into a scheme. No guarantee on the solution. From above, I sort of see it clear. Until the thicket swarms it all.
Where I'm gonna go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Rest assured, I'm right behind you.
For Pedro Show, last music for this dish, and James Jonathan Clancy with Out and Alive. Then Tomorrow Comes the Harvest with Words of Wisdom. And finally, James Jonathan Clancy with Immense Wild. So, you wanted an Italian title. But what about the...
I did.
What about the libretto, huh? Why Inglés?
I don't know. I thought I'd get around, and I guess it's my first language, so I just like to have both in a certain way.
Yeah.
I like the idea of having both on there, and yeah, I don't know. There's a few it's funny because on this record there's a few songs that have a bit of Italian.
Yeah.
In the lyrics and it just came natural. I love a lot of Italian music too. There's definitely been a rediscovery of Italian music here.
Yeah.
And you know, folks in Italy are finally figuring out that there's a lot of good stuff that the Italian musicians did in the.
Well, if you want to go back, the six-string guitar, it actually comes from Italy and not Spain.
You know,
now, they both take from the oud in the Middle East, but the six-string guitar that we know it is a couple hundred years old, and it comes out of Italy, Napoli. There was a cat building it. And they weren't in courses. Yeah, they were single strings. So that was a big difference. Yeah. And then if you look at the notation, because of the opera tradition, because they had to write manuscripts, right, because no recordings. So all the fucking musical terminology's in Italian. Actually, that keyboard thing is the forte piano. Means loud, soft, you know. So, yeah. See, I asked you that because I used to get the answer in the old days. I remember the first time I played in Italy, but just Europe in general, was that tour Black Flag brought us in 83, right? And, oh, rock and roll is English, right? And all this stuff. And so I'm thinking, whoa, but music is music.
But so, you know what? Like,
what's that?
When I toured with Settlefish my first time in the UK, this is like, I guess, with Bruno at the time and Stefano. Yep. I remember us pulling up at these British venues, and they were all kind of not making fun of us, but kind of saying, "Oh, I can't believe you're a post-punk band or whatever from Italy. Isn't that just like spaghetti, mandolin, blah blah blah?" And you know the usual
stereotype shit and
jokes. Yeah. I can assure you though that's changed. Like with all the great music coming out of Italy in the last like 10, 15 years, especially in the more like experimental jazz and avant rock kind of field. That's definitely changed because there's so many now acclaimed or well-established musicians, definitely Fratello Stay being one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, there's so much good stuff. Like, Andrea Belfi's on.
Yeah, in Berlin,
on
but he's still Italian, yeah.
And that's a good drummer.
Great drummer, man. That cat can write.
And composer. I released his last record on Maple Death. So his last record, Andrea Belfi's last record is on my label.
Great.
But
I really like playing with him. I liked his compositions. I liked the way he played. No, but come on, PFM was like a prog band from the 70s. These people have stereotypes. I remember Stooges playing Napoli, and it was a festival, and on one of the other stages, Robert Plant was saying shit like, "Get me a pizza, Tony," and shit like that. I mean, people are fucked up.
But he also admitted he stole a lot of that
from Steve Marriott. But, you know, we all got our shortcomings and stuff, and hopefully we can learn to be better humans. And, you know what Sly Stone said? He said, "It's not where you're from, it's where you're at."
Exactly.
That guy's still alive somehow.
Yeah. How old is he?
Yeah, really. Yeah, and his lifestyle not too healthy. So what are your plans for the future? You know, when you usually get done with an album, it's like, whew, finally done. But then you start thinking, man, I got so much more
like back in love with music with this record and working with Stefano that it's actually had me itching for recording more. So when you guys get back from your tour, I'm going to borrow Stefano again to record some more.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I want to do new stuff right away. And then we're touring like in England in October. So we'll be doing stuff over there.
Okay.
And
you think the process has changed? You're not in that room by yourself in London now. So you're going to be writing like a collaborative?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to be writing the song and then going to stay and then putting some cats together and recording.
Yeah. So that shows to go you know. Usually the situation, unless you're a real control freak, you know, like bringing your sailboat into the ocean and telling the wind which way to blow, that's kind of fucking not together.
I just like people. I mean, even when I've toured solo sometimes, and it's just like the worst. Like, I mean, it's so much more fun being on the road with other people. And yeah, you all get fed up with each other at one point, but you know, then you go for a walk or do something else or go eat breakfast on your own kind of thing. But then at the end of the day, like, especially like our music world, which is, it's full of like joys, but it's also full of like weird things happening and tough sleeps. You need other people. You need other people. And it's, if you're with someone else at the end of the day, anything that's gone bad, you kind of laugh it over. That's what's always been my experience.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a philosophy and I like it.
Yeah.
I like it very much.
I mean, at the end of the day, all the tragedies that have happened on the road, be it a van breakdown or not having a place to stay or whatever, when you think about them like years later, you just laugh them out with whoever you were with kind of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And here's an invite. When you get this next record done, can you come back on the show and we'll play it and talk about it?
Well, I would be honored to.
Ah, great. Thanks so much. I think you did something really good here. And if it started off a big thing, maybe we don't have to wait so long before the next one, right?
Hopefully.
You're getting to
hopefully,
it this summer, hopefully. It sounds like. So that's really happy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Keep on keeping on, Brother John.
Thanks.
People, it's been April 18, 2024. This is Wap Pedro, so keep your powder dry.